Well, good morning.
As was mentioned, I'm Dennis Bender. I knew Garland Yoder from probably 20-some years ago. We were down in VS together, voluntary service, down in South Carolina years ago. We're going to be having a bit of a reunion later on today. We're going to be getting together with Susan, used to be Miller.
Hilliard, yeah.
She was down there with us years ago, and also some of you might know Dan and Mary Hess. They're living here in Harrisonburg, and so we're looking forward to having a reunion with them. Actually, here in a little bit, I'll show you a picture of our partners, Terry and Renee Reed. They also happen to be partners with, they're down in Mexico with us. We've been serving with New Tribes Mission for the last 15 years. This is a picture of our partners, Terry and Renee Reed. Terry, he was actually in voluntary service with us 20-some years ago as well. Shortly after I got out of voluntary service down in South Carolina, we went to Bible school with Terry, and that's where Terry met his wife. That's where I met my wife, who is presently at the Women's Conference. And we went down to Mexico back in 99, and I've been working there with New Tribes Mission ever since that. I picked this scripture reading this morning from Acts chapter 14 simply because every time I get to share in a church like this, I'm constantly reminded that that's exactly what Paul did. Paul, whenever he went out on his first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, they went out all to these local places, or all to these remote places, I guess it was, that never heard the gospel before. And Paul, he was sharing the gospel to these people, and many of these people were becoming saved. When Paul returned, he returned to his home church that sent him out, and then he began to share with them. And I believe the reason why he shared with them is because he wanted them to see and experience the joy that Paul and Barnabas experienced, watching how God was at work, reaching out to these people, and seeing people become saved. And so that's exactly what I want to do here this morning. I want to share with you some of the things that are happening amongst the Guadalajara Indians down in Mexico, and how God is doing a work there that it's something we could never have done. It's definitely a miracle of God that we have a church there amongst the Guadalajara today. I'm going to be sharing with you a few of the reasons why it is a miracle later on as I continue on here with the message. I'd like to start off this morning just sharing a story that happened to me 6 years ago on December 29th. It was a normal day. It started out as any other day to us. Our partners, my partner Terry and I, we hiked up to the spring behind our house just to get some exercise that morning before the day started. And as we were returning back down to the houses, we heard a lot of gunfire going on just behind us a ways on the other mountainside. And at the time, we weren't really worried about it or really thinking anything of it. We oftentimes hear gunfire out in the mountains, usually when people get drunk out there. That's one of the things that they like to do, is they like to take their machine guns or semi-automatics or whatever guns they have. They like to shoot them up in the air when they get drunk like that. And so that's what we thought was happening on December 29th, 6 years ago. Well, as the day progressed, more and more shooting kept going on, and we finally realized it wasn't just some drunk shooting their guns in the air. These were the cartels, the two main drug cartels. They came together and they were fighting in the village right next to us. And so I turned on a little walkie-talkie that I had there. Oftentimes the Indians and the Mexicans that live out in that region, they oftentimes use these just to communicate to one another. And as I was listening to the radio there, one of them said that they're going to shoot down a helicopter. And I thought, well, maybe I just misunderstood that. I'm not great in Spanish, but I thought I knew the word for helicopter in Spanish. But 5 minutes later, here I heard a helicopter coming, flew right over our house, and as soon as it crested over the mountain range right behind us, it just sounded like a war zone going on there. They just all started shooting at this helicopter, trying to shoot it down. and the helicopter return fire, and it was just an all-out war between the cartels and the Mexican government right there in our location there. Now, the reason why I share that story with you here this morning is because for Michelle and I, our partners Terry and Renee Reed, we just got done spending 7 years learning languages to get to the point where we were able to actually communicate the gospel message to the Guadalajara Indians. We had recently just started teaching from the book of Genesis all the way to what Christ did for us on the cross. We had gotten about halfway through all that teaching when all this fighting took place there. And our leaders up in Chihuahua City, at that point, we realized it was just becoming too dangerous for us to actually be living out there. The area where we're located at, it's right on the border of where two cartels were fighting over that particular territory. And they requested that we leave that area. And, you know, at that time in our life, we were looking at that thinking, what is God doing? We just spent 7 years of our lives learning. We spent 2 years learning Spanish. We got to the point where we were able to communicate in Spanish. And we went out and into the mountains where the Guadalajara Indians lived. And we began using Spanish then to learn the Guadalajara language. And so we just spent 7 years of our lives learning language. We just started teaching the Indians. And suddenly God decided to pull us out of there. That did not make any sense to us. And I'm sure each and every one of us, from time to time, we have things that happen in our lives that do not make sense. And that was one time in our life we just thought, what is God doing? And to be honest with you, it just kind of felt like God is making a mistake. I'd never say that, but that's how we felt. I'm going to end that story right there. I'm going to pick up on it later on because God didn't know what He was doing. He knew exactly what He was doing. And at the end of the service here, I'm going to complete this story, and I'm going to share with you exactly how God used that experience to further the church there amongst the Guadalajara Indians. Now, as I mentioned, we had already spent 7 years learning language. Now, some of you, I know in the past, some people have asked us, why did we spend so much time learning language? Why couldn't we just, after learning Spanish, go out and present the gospel to these Indians in Spanish? After all, many of these Indians, they do know some Spanish. They can communicate with you in Spanish. They can go to a local store, buy what they need to in Spanish. They can carry on a small conversation in Spanish. But the difference is when it comes to dealing with spiritual terminology, talking about what God did for us, that's a whole other level. And oftentimes, these people, they just would not understand. How many of you here this morning actually took a foreign language class while going through high school or going through a college? Did anybody take Spanish? There were quite a few of you. So a number of you have taken Spanish. Entonces, si voy a platicar con ustedes en puro español, ustedes van a entender muy bien. Did you understand all that? But you took Spanish class. Okay, that's my point. The Guadalajara, they understand a fair bit of Spanish, but it is not their heart language. And so for us to be communicating with them in Spanish, trying to present the gospel to them in Spanish, there's so much that they're going to be missing. One of the Guadalajara men that lives out there in Chiltepin, he made the point. I thought he said it about as clearly as he could. He said years ago, people came and they would teach them the Bible in Spanish. And he said they would hear it and then they would forget. But he said when we teach them in Guadalajara in their native language, he said they hear it and they remember it. And so, you know, I think this God's word here, it is the most important message that God has for us. There's nothing else more important than what God has written in this book right here. And so for us to spend 5 extra years just to learn their language, I think God's desire is that each and every person on this earth has the opportunity to hear the gospel as clearly and accurately as possible. And so we're grateful that God has allowed us to be there and continue working with the Guadalquivir and be able to present the gospel to the Guadalquivir Indians there. Now, after those 7 years, after learning the language, we were ready to actually start presenting the gospel to the Guadalquivir Indians. How do you go about telling somebody that what they believe is wrong and what we believe is right? How do you go about doing that? And that's exactly what we were facing there with the Guadalquivir Indians. We were about to present the gospel to the Guadalquivir Indians. I'm going to share with you here in a little bit some of the beliefs that the Guadalquivir have. They were completely different than what we believe. I think oftentimes many of us Christians today, we kind of take the approach of what maybe some young children will do sometimes. Sometimes a child will say, "No, I'm right, you're wrong." Well, usually after that, the other child says, no, I'm right, you're wrong." And all that leads to is an argument. Now, we as adults, oftentimes, we don't like to say, "No, we're arguing with people." We like to call it debating. But the results oftentimes are the same. We're not very effective in presenting the gospel and convincing somebody that the gospel is, that this message here is true, just by saying we're right and you're wrong. So just to kind of give you an example here of what we were dealing with the Guadalquivir Indians, after we learned the language, we knew that it was going to be a struggle for the Guadalquivir. Now, the reason why I say that is one of the beliefs, this was just a picture of us during our language learning time there, but one of the beliefs that the Guadalquivir Indians have is that the sun is their god and the moon is God's wife. Now, they believe that the sun and the moon had two children, Jesus and Satan. And they say that Jesus created all of the Guadalquivir people and Satan created everybody else. So everybody here this morning, according to the Guadalquivir, Satan has created us. So here we, the missionaries, have gone out to Chiltepin to work with Guadalquivir Indians. And now we're ready to present the gospel to the Guadalquivir Indians. We're ready to explain to them what Jesus Christ did for them. Well, the Guadalquivir, they're thinking, who are we to be telling them who Jesus Christ is? After all, Jesus Christ, according to them, created all the Guadalquivir. We're just Satan's children. So how do we go about convincing the Guadalquivir Indians that what we believe is the truth and what they believe is the lies from Satan? That was a tough thing to overcome. It took many, many years. Now, ultimately, the most important thing is it had to be God Himself. There's no other way. We could have talked so eloquently to the people out there. We could have known Scripture up and down. But without God actually working in their hearts, there was no possible way for them to actually come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, I think one of the ways that God oftentimes works through people's lives is He uses other believers. We were the believers going out to the Guadalquivir Indians, and one of the ways that God wants us to be reaching out, to be effective in reaching out to other people, is actually living life with the people there. And that was, I think that was one of the key things that really helped the Guadalquivir see that, hey, what we were saying was true, is we went out, we lived life there with them. We had a love for them that their own people did not really have for them. Oftentimes, they did not trust their own people, but they would come and tell us things because they knew that we would be trustworthy. And it's not because we're any greater, it's just because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. God is there helping us. And I think our lives, living our lives there, it wasn't that we were just telling them all these pretty things. We were actually living the life that God wanted us to. And so because of that, it was an example to the Guadalquivir that, hey, what we're saying might be valid here. One of the other things that is just as important, if not more, is having the Word of God in their language. I'm not really sure how anybody can present the gospel or how anybody could really ground the church without God's word in their hand. And so the Guadalquivir, they've never had the Bible written in the Guadalquivir language. And so that was one of the goals that we've had all along from the very beginning, was we wanted to be able to translate the Bible into the Guadalquivir language so that the Guadalquivir Indians would be able to someday be able to read the scripture in their own language and know what God's word actually says. This happens to be a portion of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation. Just to give you an idea of what Guadalquivir sounds like, just to say the Bible, it's called Riosimum Nausarila Ositume. That just means God's word written is what that means there. And so one of the things that Michelle and I have been noticing this summer, we've just started our furlough year. We're here up in the States for a year now. But we started our furlough back in June. We've been doing a lot of traveling over the summer. We were out in the state of Washington and Oregon and Idaho this summer, visiting numerous churches out there. But one of the things that we've been noticing, and it's rather alarming to us, is how many churches out there today no longer view God's Word as the authoritative Word. There's certain churches out there today that they only believe that the writing in red is God's authoritative Word. All the other writings that Paul had written, the other apostles and prophets had written, they just think those are people's interpretation of how God wants people or Christians to live the Christian life. And that is a very dangerous stance to take. It really opens the doors wide open for them to be able to make the Bible say whatever they want it to say. And really, really opens the doors to allow Satan to be able to present lies to them that they're more likely to believe because they're not actually viewing this as God's authoritative Word. There's other churches that will claim that this is God's authoritative Word, but yet their lives would say otherwise. They'll come to church, they'll say, yeah, this is what I believe, but yet they allow the world to influence them. And we've been noticing that's happening more and more. I don't think it's only here in the United States. I think it's all over the world where people do not really respect the Word of God. They don't really view it as God's authoritative Word anymore, and they don't fear it. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to read 21. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And then also in verse 25, it says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." Now, the reason why this has been rather alarming to Michelle and I, coming here to the United States and just seeing how many churches are starting to kind of fall away of recognizing as God's Word as the truth, is we just spent the last 15 years of our lives working with a people group that did not have God's Word in their own language. And we saw firsthand how that Satan, because of that, was able to lie to the Guadalquivir Indians, and they believed things that we could not possibly believe. We just think, how could somebody believe in the lies such as these? For the Guadalquivir Indians, believing that the sun is their God and that they had two children. We just think, how can somebody believe something like that? But they did not have God's Word. And therefore, it was very easy for Satan to lie to them and for them to believe them. And that's exactly what I'm afraid is going to be happening to the church here in the U.S. and other places if they do not recognize God's Word as God's authoritative Word. It's going to be so much easier for Satan to be able to enter in and present these lies to people, and people will start believing them. Now, as I mentioned, that is one of the number one reasons why we wanted to be able to translate the entire New Testament into the Guadalajara Indian language, to where someday we'd be able to present that to the Guadalajara Indians, and they would be able to take it to their homes and use it and read it. To this point, we have about 72% of the New Testament translated in the Guadalajara language now. My partner, Terry, he's doing most of the translation work. And at this point, we're looking at another 2, maybe 3 years before we actually complete the entire New Testament being translated in the Guadalajara language. Now, at that point, 2, 3 years from now, when we complete the complete New Testament in the Guadalajara language, what good is this book going to do if we hand it out to all the Guadalajara Indians, and the Guadalajara Indians just take this book and set it in their house and never open it? What good is this book going to do? It's not going to do any good if you don't read it, if you don't hear it. And that's exactly why in Romans chapter 10, Paul, he said, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" And so that was one of the other main goals that we as a team have had ever since we started the work there with the Guadalajara Indians. We not only wanted to translate the New Testament in their language, we also wanted to teach them what God's Word actually says in their language so that they can have a clear understanding of what Christianity means, how someone can actually get to heaven, and what the Christian life actually looks like. So today, by the grace of God, this is just a picture of the book of Revelation. They like lots of pictures in their Bibles, so we've actually had numerous Spanish speakers come and ask us if we can give them a Bible like that in Spanish, too, so that they can have lots of pictures. But today, by the grace of God, we have a church there amongst the Guadalajara. There on a normal Sunday, we have nearly 30, 35 people that are normally showing up on a regular basis there. And so we've just been blessed just to see how God has actually worked through these people's hearts. They've taken, when we presented the gospel to them, some of their cultural beliefs, believing that the Son was their God, and just many other things that I can spend hours on explaining to you of what the Guadalajara believe. When they heard the Word of God and had seen how the Word of God worked in their hearts and helping them to realize, you know what, the things that their ancestors have taught them have been lies from Satan, and they're putting their faith in the Word of God now. That was exciting to us to see how God was able to work in their lives. And I want to just spend the remainder of the morning here sharing with you two of the testimonies of two of the believers here at the Guadalajara Indians. This family right here is Macario and Genoveva. We just call them Mark and Jenny in English. I'm sure it's a little bit easier for you guys to remember their names when we call them Mark and Jenny. But they became believers about 5 years ago. Now, shortly after they became believers, Mark, in the past, he was growing marijuana, selling marijuana. That's their lifestyle out in the mountains there. Here in Stanton, there's all sorts of job opportunities. You can go down to a grocery store or a gas station or whatever job. You have opportunities here. There in the mountains, there are no other gas stations. There are no other job opportunities. The only real way for them to be able to earn any money is with growing marijuana. And so for Mark, after he became a believer, he realized that growing marijuana was not something God wanted him to do. And so he decided he's not going to be growing marijuana anymore. He did not want to be working for anybody to earn money growing marijuana or growing his own. He decided he was going to trust God and rely on God to provide for his family's needs. Now, for us, the missionaries, when we heard Mark say that, we were like, wow, that is neat for him to take that step of faith. But at the same time, we were a bit fearful, thinking, wow, how's God going to do this? And shortly after that, God had given us the idea of making goat milk soap. The Indians in the past have made soap out there. They had goats out there. And so we started teaching Mark and Jenny and a few other families how to make goat milk soap. And so for 5 years now, this has been Mark's main income. It's really his only income. And God has provided for him for the last 5 years. He has not planted any drugs. He has not worked for anybody planting any drugs. God has provided for this family all the food and clothing that they need just simply by people buying these soaps. We weren't sure how we were going to market it, but so far we've been bringing all the soaps up here to the States. Many of the churches that we know, they've been buying it. And it's a great way for churches to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to help these believers by buying something that you're already using every day, soap. And so it was just neat to me to see how that God has actually blessed this family here. Actually, one of the other Guadalajara families that are not believers, one day they were commenting. They said, you know, they've been noticing how Mark and Jenny are living. They said they really don't live any differently there as far as what they can buy and what they can't buy than any of the other Guadalajara people. Matter of fact, oftentimes Mark and Jenny have more money to go out and buy food than what most of the other Guadalajara families do. And so to me, that was just a blessing to see how that God took something that seemed impossible, and yet 5 years later, God has been blessing Mark and Jenny because they took that step of faith, trusting in God that He would provide for them. One of the other believers that I want to mention to you about is Vicente. This young man here, we call him our super misionero. He's tremendous of what he is capable of doing. God has really gifted him with a mind to be able to remember and to be able to teach and to be able to do all sorts of things. Now, at this point, I'm going to pick up back off of the story that I left off on earlier in the service. When 6 years ago, when we were evacuated from the tribe, at that point of our lives, we felt like, what is God doing? It did not make any sense to us. How are we going to reach the Guadalajara people if we can't actually live with the Guadalajara people? Well, we decided to do the next best thing. We knew of this family right here, Vicente and his dad and his grandfather, a few years before that, had moved down to the city down in Guaymas, Sonora. And so we thought, well, we'll move down there. We'll continue working with them. Terry in the past has worked with Vicente's dad doing Bible translation. And I've worked with Vicente writing Bible lessons and stuff like that in the past. And so we went down there. We thought, well, this way we can at least continue on with that. Well, shortly after I started working again with Vicente, he was just tremendous help in being able to write these Bible translations. Not only that, we ended up starting to record a lot of the Bible lessons that we've been writing down. I would read a paragraph to Vicente, and he would just, by memory, he would repeat it back, and it would come out more natural that way for a Guadalajara speaking that way. And so we were able to record it all into these little recorders, and now we pass them out to the Guadalajara Indians to where they can actually be in their homes listening to these lessons of the Bible while sitting in their homes there. During the year that I lived down in Guaymas, Sonora with Vicente, he was just absorbing all this information that we were giving him of the Bible. And he was just wanting more and more. And so we started encouraging him to consider going to a Bible school that New Tribes Mission had over in Chihuahua City. Now, Vicente at this point had lived in Guaymas for 3 or 4 years. So his Spanish was actually pretty good. It wasn't his first language, but he understood it really well. And so we thought he would actually do very, very well at a Bible school. And so that's what he did. The next following year, He went to Bible school over in Chihuahua. Michelle and I, we moved to Chihuahua as well, to where I can continue working with Vicente. He was able to go to Bible school in the morning, take classes in the morning, and then in the afternoon he'd work with me. And that way I was able to pay him so that he could pay the Bible school there. And after 2 years of Bible school, Vicente, he finished top of his class. Even though Spanish was a second language, he finished top of his class there. And that was just an incredible blessing to us to see how the desire that he had to learn more of the Bible. For the last 2 years, Vicente, he moved out, back out to the tribe with us. After 3 years living in the cities, the cartels no longer were fighting as much in our area, and it became safe for us to actually move back out into Chiltepin and begin working there with Guadalajara Indians. And so Vicente moved back out there with us, and during those last 2 years, he's been doing a lot of the teaching there. Not only has he been doing a lot of the teaching, he started doing Bible translation work. He translated the book of Jonah, the book of Matthew, the book of Luke, and he has a good rough draft of the book of John done. And you might think, well, that was only three and a half books. But if you look at the size of those books, that is a huge portion of the New Testament. And so having Vicente there has been a huge blessing to us. Now, the reason why I share that story with you here this morning is because this story is such an encouragement to me. Looking back on it now, we realized if God had not evacuated us 6 years ago, and if God had not taken us down to Guayma, Sonora, to work specifically with this one family, there's a good chance Vicente never would have gone to Bible school, never would have gotten involved in teaching his own people or doing Bible translation. And the church today, the Guadalajara church today, would not be as far along as what it is. Vicente, he has a desire. He said just a few weeks ago to our partner that he still has a desire to go and reach his people, to work with his people. And so at this point, he's back in Chihuahua again. The churches in Chihuahua City are supporting him, or were supporting him while he was out in the tribe so he could work full-time on translation. But they asked him to return to Chihuahua and finish the training with New Tribes Mission so that he can become a full-time missionary, and the churches in Chihuahua that would then support him. But, you know, just looking at that, we just thought, if we had not gone and worked with Vicente, Vicente probably would still be working as a mason down in Guayma, Sonora. And the church today, if the missionaries were not there, they would not have somebody that was capable of teaching the Word of God to them. And so I think each and every one of us, from time to time, we have things in our lives that happen that we just wonder, what is God doing? We do not understand. And I just want to encourage you, this is a perfect example that there's times where we do not understand what God is doing in our lives, but God is always in control. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for His people. And so this is just a good example of that. All right. While he was in Chihuahua, one of the other things that Vicente did was he learned how to play the guitar so he could actually, he also leads worship Sunday morning out there in Chiltepin as well. The worship doesn't sound quite as nice to us as what it does here. They've never really learned how to carry a tune, so it kind of hurts your ears sometimes whenever you listen to it, but I'm sure in God's ears, it's a beautiful sound. So, thank you.